live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 178 of the Field to the Real podcast. I am not going to, every time we shout out the episode, I am not going to talk about how close this 200th episode is. Because even though it's close, it's pretty close.
You know, the time flies. I'm sorry. We say, oh, that's a couple, few months. No, it'll be here.
Yeah.
And we'll be like, oh, my God. Like, yeah. So, but I'm excited.
Me
I'm
too.
Excited about every episode we do, honestly. So, whatever.
I thought it was just me. I knew it wasn't just me. But I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a few years of doing this podcast, because we started it in January of 2019,
mm-hmm.
and we had begun talking about it in September, October of
2018. Yep.
We're sitting here 4 years
almost
from having that first conversation about doing this podcast. Yep. And you looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, what?
Yeah.
Podcast.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah. Then to have it to come to fruition and then to still be doing it years later is just amazing.
Yeah. Only God.
Yeah. And I remember how in the beginning I used to like fret over like the amount of listeners or whatever. Look, I could tell y'all, nobody could listen to this podcast and we would still do it. Now, thank y'all for those of you who do listen, we truly appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
But it's the love for what we do.
Yeah.
And this is why, as a life coach, I'm always telling people, what is it that you would do regardless?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your passion is.
We don't get no money for this. You know what I'm saying?
No.
In the years that we've done this, it's coming, definitely.
It's coming. It's just not yet.
I truly believe that.
Yeah, it's not yet. And we don't do it for that. So that's why we'll be honored with when we get it.
Right. That's going to be land, yeah.
Yep. So I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You know what? It's funny that I just used that term, and he may not even see this. But it's funny that I just used that term. I got that term from Coach Mack.
Okay.
Land Yap. I got that term from him. And ironically, today is his birthday. So even though he probably won't see this, I know Ms. Mack may, because she follows me on social media and he doesn't have any social media at all.
Okay.
So happy born day, Coach Mack. Love you, man.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Yes. I don't know you, but I know you.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you done heard so much about
it. So firmly of you at all. At any moment, he gets the chance. So
yes.
I know that you've been a great influence on my brother, and mm-hmm. he's a terrific man. And I'm just going to say that you, if nothing else, added to making him who he is. So thank you, Coach Mack, for your pouring into my brother.
Yeah.
And enjoy your day.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's probably not celebrating it, but I'm going to call him a little bit.
And I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway.
Big one, huh?
Y'all men in that birthday thing.
I know, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to celebrate mine.
Yeah. You about the only one I know. Everybody,
I'm going to celebrate mine. I might celebrate it the whole month since my birthday started the first day of the month.
Exactly. I'm with you. I feel you. You should.
Especially the 40th.
I can't even. But anyway, listen, like you always saying to me, like, I keep forgetting you. Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's about to be 39.
Yeah.
So I got a whole.
I know. You got a year, though, but it's still so close.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, that time go by fast.
Oh, God. We talk about 40? Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway. Great. You're my little brother.
I know.
But yeah. God willing, we have a bash for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You already know it.
Well, I know my sister, so.
Yeah, you already know.
I know my sister. So Yes. All right, let's this going.
Yeah, let's jump in this Who's Really Right, because I remember when you sent me the text. I don't think I knew it at the time, but when you sent me the text telling me that Dak Prescott was out, I was like, here we go again. I don't know what God the Cowboys pray to, but
it ain't working.
It's not working. I think you your God is ridiculous.
Try God. Try Jesus.
Oh man, but no, I feel like something happens every season that they have all of these high hopes that stops them from being so or as successful as they believe that they will be or that they plan to be.
I have thoughts, but I'm not going to speak them. We'll just keep it moving.
You know, I already know what you're talking about. And so the latest cog in this wheel is that Dak Prescott is injured. And while Jerry Jones is trying to downplay the injury because he didn't, the team didn't put him on IR, which would have kept him out, or he would have had to stay out for at least 6 weeks. And this injury is projected to have about 6 to 8 weeks. They are saying that he could make it back within 4. No one believes that based off the injury. And so
it's a fracture.
Yeah.
Those are the hardest things to get over, to heal from. The smaller the bones, the harder it is.
Exactly.
So good luck. And don't be trying to push. Let me just say this, Jerry Jones, if you're listening, if you're not, if somebody can get this to you, don't push that young man to get back before he can. In my head, I'm just worried, like KD with the Warriors. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, oh man,
putting that was all of this out there, that pressure on them. Like, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that. I know he'll want to get back, but I need him to make sure he's ready and healed completely. So, because Jerry Jones needs you to be the fall guy for when they don't do well. So don't rush back for that. Mm-hmm. Don't rush back for that. Anyway,
take your time and heal.
This is not what the Who's Really Right.
No. I mean, it's related to this. And so Who's Really Right is, because they have to replace Dak, a lot of the chatter around the league has been, should the Cowboys go with their backup, Cooper Rush, or should they bring in Cap? Because by all accounts, Cap had a terrific workout with the Raiders a few months back, and he looks to still be able to kind of wing it, you know. And so what's the better option here? Is it going to be Cooper Rush, or should they bring in Colin Kaepernick? And there's always step ladies first.
Well, sometimes.
Right. Sometimes, yes.
So you know where I'm going with this, right? Mm-hmm. This man has deserved to be in the league for the last 5 years. Nothing has changed in his ability. I mean, he might be, you know, he's older. Mm-hmm. But as you just stated, he worked out for the Raiders. He looked really good. Mm-hmm. The one thing is his body hasn't taken the punishment that others have taken over the last 5 years. So we can find a plus in that and give this man a shot. Now, do I believe that Jerry Jones would be the one owner out of all the 32 in the league that would give Colin Kaepernick a shot? Absolutely not. Do I think they should? Absolutely. He's still got it. And I'm just saying that the experience is there. Rush was... He started one game last year because Dak had like that calf injury. So he started one game last year. I mean, he played well, not knocking the young man, but when you've got the aspirations that this team does and the expectations that have been put out there year in, year out, you're America's team.
Right.
You don't rely on, he's okay. Mm-hmm. You need better than okay.
Right.
And if I'm picking between Rush and Kaepernick, five-year out the league, still fresh legs, Colin Kaepernick is going to win in my book every day.
Okay. I struggle with formulating this argument for who's really right because of my personal like feelings on the matter. Like, yeah. Obviously, I want Cap to get a shot. Absolutely. And I believe Cap deserves a shot. Mm-hmm. Not based on entitlement, but based on like, the ability to still be able to play. The fact that he hasn't gotten that opportunity, to me, still feels like collusion. Because we can kind of keep spinning the narrative like, oh, he's gotten older. He's been out of the league 5 years. There's no way he could be effective. So you have that point. But specifically for this who's really right, I think that when thinking about a backup quarterback and what he's asked to do, because Cooper Rush already knows the offense, has already been in the offense for some years now, and it's just he's been in the building, I think he's the better option, at least right now, because Cap hasn't gone through training camp. Cap would have to learn this offense. Yeah. And so I do feel like there would be a learning curve. I feel like some of those growing pains that he probably would have been able to get out during training camp will have to happen on the fly. And I don't want him to come out and have to like learn and it kind of affects his play. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like then you'll have those people who come out and be like, see, I told you he couldn't play anymore.
Right, right.
And so
I mean, that's going to happen either way, but yeah.
Yeah. It's big risk to have him come in, but it's also big reward because if you can get Colin Kaepernick from early on in his career, that's going to lift any franchise. And so I want him to have an opportunity, but I want him to have the right opportunity. And I wouldn't want him playing for Jerry Jones anyway.
I mean, that's why I phrased the question the way that I did. This was not, is this a good idea for Colin Kaepernick? Because absolutely not. Never would you know how I feel. Yeah. Never. no. So, no. But, I mean, literally of all the owners in the league, he would be 32 on my list. Mm-hmm. Literally for Colin Kaepernick to have to go play for. But for Cap to get an opportunity, if it was presented to him.
Yeah. Take the one that's open. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And I feel like for them, it's not about Kaepernick. It's about the Cowboys. And for them, mm-hmm. I think it's a win. But I see your point as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see it. Well, the good thing is he's highly intelligent.
That's true. And I truly believe he can pick up an offense quickly and be able to move and mm-hmm. you know. But by the time that he actually gets it, will Dak be back? You know what I'm saying? Will
especially when they pressuring you to come back
before
So well y'all let us know.
Yeah, y'all let us know. Is it gonna who do you guys think the best option is here? Is it Cooper Rush? The backup quarterback of the Cowboys, or Colin Kaepernick, who has proven that he can still play football in this league. Real good topics. All right, now this story pains me, right? And I have a lot of opinion on this.
Yeah.
Because when we mentioned the name Donald Sterling, who had a private conversation leak, and he was forced to sell his team because of that. I think when you have someone like Robert Sarver who has created a culture of misogyny and racism throughout his organization, I can't imagine that you would look at one isolated incident from Donald Sterling and then look at Robert Sarver's culture that's been created over years. And
over
say,
a decade.
Or decade, excuse me, that this is a proper punishment for his behavior.
So tell them the punishment.
So the punishment is he's going to be suspended for a year, which I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
As the owner, how are you suspended?
Do you not have to go to the games? can't be on.
Not be at the facility.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
But either you still way. Run the team.
So I get a year of vacation is what you tell them.
Yeah.
Because I'm still getting that paper.
Because the money's still going to come. And as a multi-billionaire, he was fined $10 million.
Which is like $10 to us.
Yeah. So, that when you heard the, when you not even when you heard the allegations, because you know these came out a while ago.
Yeah.
When you heard the punishment.
Yeah.
After the investigation, how did you feel?
So, if I'm honest, it was the first reaction was, oh, this is our culture. This is just a microcosm of our culture where rich white men get to get away with whatever they want to. And he's a rich white man.
Yeah.
So I will say, unfortunately, because we live in a society that this is just our culture, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
What I am surprised at is Adam Silver's response to this, because you know how we love Adam Silver.
Mm-hmm.
We always like, he the dopest.
He always gets it right.
He gets it right. Mm-hmm. And for him to be like, well, I can't force him out. Whatever you did to get rid of Donald Sterling is what now, needs to happen.
Question. What was Adam Silver's first year?
I don't remember. You think he came after?
Yeah, because I want to say that was David Stern.
That was David Stern. It was. I guess my point is, there is still the opportunity, because if David Stern was able to do that, then that means that
it can be done.
It is possible. That's my only thing. It is possible for that to take place. And so that was my first thing, the Adam Silver response. And I'm really, because this probably would not happen in the NFL. Because we've already had many a conversation about the difference in how the players, the autonomy to speak freely that the players have in the NFL versus the NBA. But to have, you know, LeBron and Chris Paul and even one of the minority owners of the team come out and speak and say, he gotta go.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, because we know who Chris Paul is.
and he was on that team.
Exactly. And we know how he is, and how we know LeBron to be very much an activist, and we know Chris Paul to be very much. And so I'm curious to see if they're going to utilize their power as players to galvanize the NBA. Bless you.
Thank you.
To make them the same way we have cancel culture in the world, that and people get out here and say stupid things and lose their jobs and all this kind of stuff and do us. I'm curious to see if they're going to galvanize their power to come together to try to force something on Adam Silver with this man.
So you can believe that something's happening behind the scenes. You know, I've seen a few tweets about it. But let me correct myself, because while David Stern did retire in 2014, Adam Silver took over office February 1st of 2014. The Donald Sterling thing happened in April. And so Adam Silver was the commissioner that, you know, was in power at the time when that happened. So,
okay. There we go. That's what I'm saying. Like, and to your point, it was one incident. Well, we know that it wasn't just that one, but one that they can prove with Donald Sterling. But apparently in reading about this, it's been thing after thing after thing over a decade of you just, like you said, creating this culture of misogyny and racism and just being, so you don't deserve to represent the NBA, in my opinion, because of it. You just don't. You don't deserve to be making money off the, because that just lets me know how you feel. It lets me know how you feel. And as a woman, a black woman, so you hit me in two ways, bro.
Yeah.
I am offended that this is all that happens to you, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just don't understand, you know. It don't make sense right now. And, you know, I kind of wish Adam Silver kind of said a little more about the rationale behind being anything. Mm-hmm. And not just say, like, hey, there's nothing I can do, my hands are tied.
Yeah.
I would love for him to present a, like, okay, because this is in place, this is why this can't happen now like it did in 2014 with Donald Sterling. Because that's going to be the measuring stick. That was the first time we've ever seen, at least the first time I've ever seen an owner removed from a team. I've never seen that before.
Never seen it. But I you know what? It sparked in me this, we almost need a movement, and it probably would have to be the athletes who would spark it. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be a proper vetting.
Yeah.
And I know we live in this, you're innocent until proven guilty, but I feel like because professional sports has been around for as long as it has, and a lot of those people who are owners were owners when things were different.
Mm-hmm.
That there might need to be like this vetting of all owners of every team from every sport.
Right.
To
you mean the owners that are currently there? That then need to be
every owner of every team of every sport. Finding out exactly who, how, and what they believe in, what they're about. Because, and what this could do is open the door for players to step in to start to have some ownership. Because
mm-hmm.
if you, what I think is going to happen is you're going to have about 30 to maybe, it might be way higher than that, mm-hmm. 30% plus of owners who are going to be Robert Sarver's.
Yeah.
And Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't own a team, especially a team where black, majority of your team is black.
Right.
And your thought process about them is derogatory.
Right.
Because to me, that means it's just because they get paid, I guess you feel like it's not, but it is in your mind like plantation mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You slave owner mentality.
What do you mean, all the slaves?
So we have to eliminate and eradicate that mm-hmm. out of professionals. But you should not be making money off the backs of people when you don't when you feel that way about them.
Exactly.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't be allowed to.
I agree.
You can tell I really was hot about this.
Yeah, anyway. I already know. I already know. Let's move on to this Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, because we could be here all day.
I'm so glad that he did. I was trying to figure out like why it hadn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was a few years ago. This was the year that they drafted Justin Herbert. And Tyrod Taylor was supposed to be the starting quarterback that year while Justin Herbert learned. And a doctor, I don't know exactly what he was trying to do, but he punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung in during the game. I don't know if he was administering some type of,
I think he had like pain. A rib. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a rib thing.
He had a rib issue and he was.
Yeah, and he was.
That's what it was.
A shot to kind of numb the
pain.
How they do. Yeah.
and he punctured his lung doing that.
Yep.
Not only did it cost him his position with the Chargers, it cost him money. Because he lost out on being the starting quarterback.
Yep.
And he lost that position for the rest of the year, you know, and then they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And so he's always been the journeyman quarterback, you know. He had his opportunity. He did really well with the Bills. Yep. He went to the Browns and got injured when Baker Mayfield got there. So, you know, when you saw this, it's like, okay, he has a home with the Chargers, and then this, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I felt really
I'm glad he filed that suit.
Yeah, he should. I mean, I'm wondering why it took so long, but I'm glad that he did it. Yeah, it's been a few years, but I'm glad he did it. He deserves compensation. Because they can't give him back his time. They can't give him back his opportunities. But you can give him back his money.
Right.
That essentially was a neglectful thing that, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And as a person who, I'm not a doctor, but I have to kind of be under malpractice type because of what I do.
Right.
I understand that we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But you can't not expect that if you make this big of a mistake that something's coming for you. Right. I'm not saying the doctor's a horrible person. I'm just saying you should know that this is coming for you.
Yeah. And you should be accountable for it.
You did, I mean, it happened, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And saying sorry just ain't enough every time. So.
Nah, not at all.
Yeah. So, good for you, Tyrod.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. So, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Said on the podcast this past week that when he woke up on Monday morning, he felt every bit of those four hits and those two sacks.
Yep.
He said while he's made a commitment to the team, he's going to reevaluate at the end of the season. Now, based off of these comments, because I've never heard Tom Brady talk like this.
Ever.
Do you think he's going to make it to the end of the year? Mm-mm.
I know. And then I just read today, which is still another. So his comments, his leaving the team for 11 days. And now I just heard that he is taking every Wednesday off. Mm-hmm. This happens. This is not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Some players, veteran players, they do this, but it's Tom Brady.
Right.
He'll never do this.
So. The injury comments were interesting. But have you heard, I want to say I sent you the clip. I don't know if you got to see it. Have you heard kind of some of the, I'm going to call it tabloid stuff, but a lot of this stuff
has already been confirmed. Oh, the personal
stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know that this, so here's one of my theories. Mm-hmm. It's either truly trying to appease Giselle in some way, finding some balance in your life. Because she thought she had her husband back. Right. You went. Clearly she was not happy. If we go by what kind of the way things have been. And she publicly came out and kind of said that she wasn't expecting him to go back. So I think that it's safe that we can say we're not putting gossip out there that she wasn't happy for their family about him returning to football. So either he is trying to find a way to appease her, or there is something else medically that he went through that he is still going through that is requiring him not to be there on a weekly basis. Hmm. So it's one of those two things, I feel.
I'm going to go with the former. And one of the things I like, you know, I've seen a couple of the things and the kind of the reports that are confirmed and unconfirmed. One of the reports is that they are living in different spaces as of right now.
Well, she didn't move back to Tampa with him.
Yeah. Which isn't, I guess that's not that big of a deal.
It's not. Their son plays football up there.
So. Oh, okay. So, okay.
Like he got
on a plane. I didn't know that he went to school up there. That's why.
Yeah. His son literally got on. He got on a plane to go to his son's game after a practice.
A practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that Wednesday is probably like, hey, after practice on Tuesday, I'm getting on a plane, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go spend time with my family because we're in two different places right now. And by all accounts, like, Giselle was fed up. So I'm going to lean to the former, and I hope that, you know what I'm saying, like, that he's able to work it out. You know what I'm saying?
Cause yeah,
you know, this too. Is his family. And I know that this is the reason why I feel like, because he made this commitment to the team, I think he's going to honor it for the entirety of the year because he has too much pride not to. But I think that he retires at the end of this year.
Oh, yeah. He for real retires.
Yeah.
And seeing that Gronk is like, no, I'm serious this time. Yeah. No, I'm not coming back. I think he will. And so if it's the former, then, yeah, I see him staying the year. If it's the latter, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's 45. I don't know if you paid attention to how he's been walking lately, but it don't look right. Mm-hmm. Anyway. It's a hitch in his giddy up. It is something. So, yeah. If like to hear him say, oh, I feel it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I pray it's the first because I don't want him to be sick. I don't want anything to be wrong with him, you know, but
right.
Just a little weird. Just a little weird because even the 11-day thing, according to what I think either Todd Bowles or somebody else with the team said, was it was expected to happen. They knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So if this was about your family, how did they know it was coming?
Right.
Anyway, yeah. You know, I'll be over here going deep in my about this stuff. But yeah.
Super analytical. All right. Cool. We just we're a roll call. Yeah. All right, so we're gonna use the timer this time. We only got four.
Four.
But we're gonna That's use fine. That timer.
I'm good.
We got a you minute know, for I each got one. Good at this. Yeah, right. Yeah. Look, I looked at the one from last week, or it was either last week or the week before last when we did untime. Yeah. I was like, it's crazy how drastic the difference is in time when we made the decision to have a timer and when we don't.
Yeah.
It really ends up just being real good
topics. More real good topics, yes. Well, we're going to make it work. Let's go.
Yeah. All right, so let's get started with the Seattle fans. The Denver Broncos played the Seattle Seahawks this past week in Seattle. And for those of you who don't know, Russell Wilson was traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Denver Broncos, and he is now their starting quarterback. And so this was his first time back in Seattle after being traded to a new team. And he was met with not just boos, but boos pretty much the whole game.
Yeah.
Fair or foul? And go.
Very foul. This man brought y'all team back from, I mean, I know your defense was, you know, what it was, but you had a franchise quarterback, a superstar for 9 years? I can't remember how long it was, like 9 years. And he didn't deserve that from you all. It's much respect. And the way that he and DK Metcalf and some of the other, how they were after the game, lets you know, it wasn't nasty. He's not that person. So y'all need to get over yourself anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know what I'm saying? You think about someone like Russell Wilson. And we know that once he goes like to the Hall of Fame, he'll probably identify as a Seahawk. That's where he won a Super Bowl. Even if he does win one with the Broncos, it'll be the same way that Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? People are going to view him as a Colt.
Yeah.
So they'll view Russell Wilson as a Seahawk, and it's just unfortunate that it went this way.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to be booed.
No.
All right. So the SEC tells UGA and Tennessee to scrap their games with Oklahoma and Texas because it's unconfirmed that Texas and Oklahoma will be moving to the SEC. But the SEC told them to scrap those games. They told Georgia and Tennessee to scrap those games in 2024 and 2025 so they can fill them with non-conference games. What do you think about this? And go.
I wrote what I think. This is a mess.
Yeah.
This is a mess. It's a speculative mess. Who's to say that they are going to make it? Like, why would you be making decisions about games with the assumption that they're going to be? Like, what are we talking about? It's just stupid to me. Like, really?
You just said it. You answered your own question. Because it's not speculation. SEC came out and told them to do that. They already know that these are going to be members of the SEC because we're moving to two to four conferences. Large conferences.
Yes.
So that all of this money can be soaked up for all of this TV, for all of these TV deals. And so the more attention, the more fan bases we can get under one conference, the more money that we can go to these networks and say, you can play our games, but this is what you got to pay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Oklahoma and Texas, who have big fan bases, they're coming to the SEC. And the SEC knows that, which is why they told them, yeah, scrap them games because they're going to be conference games.
All right, I guess. Okay.
All right. So South Carolina fans left the stadium in droves after each UGA score until there was literally almost no one left to see them score in the final minute. Was this wrong? And go.
So I'm a football fan for real, right? So when my team sucks, I'm still for them. When they don't, I'm all for it. So I just can't imagine being that I spent money on a ticket to come see a game and I leave because we're getting drugged. I'm going to still be a fan. Like, it don't look good. It's not a good look. Like, it's not. It's not a good look. I understand Georgia drugged them, but it's not a good look.
So, you and I kind of share the same sentiment, but let me give it to you from a different perspective.
Okay.
If you were to, let's say you purchased a hair dryer, and the hair dryer didn't work the way you wanted it to, what would you do?
I probably return it.
Return it.
Yes.
So as a consumer and not a football fan, you go to a football game and the team is getting drugged.
Yeah.
The same as returning it is leaving the game. You're not getting your money back, but I'm not going to stay for this product.
I mean, that makes sense. But you said it as a consumer, not
as a consumer, not a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
All right. We knocked that out pretty quick. Real roll call.
Yep. I'm good.
When we use that time, it does go by fast. But I kind of like the boom, boom, boom nature of Real World.
I do. That's what I love about it. You know, when we first started, when you brought this to I like this. We got to be snappy with it. Like, I'm good with it.
Yeah. You got to formulate your opinion and articulate it in 30 seconds or less.
I'm excited about this. On to the real, if you can't tell. because we just had this conversation when we talked about Sue Bird last week, right?
Yes.
And so basically the Suns are playing the Aces in the finals right now in WNBA. And pretty cool that we've got two people who are presidents of their respective teams. But let me tell you the story that Nikki Fargus is the president of the Aces. She was getting ready to be in her 11th year as the coach for the LSU Tigers women's basketball program when she got the call from Atala Shakur. Shabaka. That is, I can't remember whose daughter she is. But she's an ambassador. And she called her up and asked her to become the president of the Las Vegas Aces. And then the other story is, on the other side, Jennifer Rizzotti, I'm horrible with names, y'all. Rizzotti had just been let go of her job as the head coach of the George Washington University's women basketball program and got the call the same day she was fired to become the president of the Sun.
That's crazy.
So we've got two women as presidents of these WNBA teams who are now seeing each other for the first time. Both teams first time in the finals. So kudos to these women and their team, and obviously the work they've put in to get them to this place. So kudos to them.
Yeah, definitely kudos to them. I think that's an amazing story, like especially for it to happen on the same day, you know. And in the case of Rizzotti, it happening, you know, GW.
The day she was fired, like, but yeah.
It happening the day that she was fired, you know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. yeah. Right now, and last week, so game four hasn't happened yet. I believe it happens tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And the Aces are up 2-1. But the Sun did a marvelous job, you know, putting themselves back in the series because it was almost a sweep.
Right.
On Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is if the Sun win this game, it'll go to a game 5 winner take all.
Yep.
But if the Aces win tonight, then
they win.
They win the series.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna see what happens.
We're gonna see. I'm sticking with my pick. I'm sticking with the Aces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You beat the Aces too, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't who's really right. We both were like, Las Vegas got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Feel good final thought.
Yes.
And I love this one. I love this story. Anything now that comes out about Kobe. And people paying tribute to Kobe, people honoring Kobe. I'm all here for.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk much about this. While I wasn't a fan of Kobe the basketball player. Now, let me make sure that I say this. I appreciated his game, and I know that he's one of the greatest, you know what I'm saying, players.
Absolutely, hands down.
I just wasn't a big fan of the Lakers because they were just running through and beating up on everybody. I grew up a Wizards fan, you know, and so, yeah. Oh, you grew up a Hawks fan, so you understand my plight.
Not quite. We're not going to even listen. Back in the day,
Dominique.
Dominique, listen, no, we're not going to compare those two. So, no, I don't understand.
No, it is fair to compare because how many championships did the Hawks win?
That's not the point.
Uh-huh.
That's not the point. Is not about championships. We had better teams, though.
No, the Wizards had some really good teams when we had Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas,
come on, here, do
going
this,
to the playoffs
this,
all the time.
Do this feel good final thought, sir, because we are not going to agree.
Okay,
on that.
Okay, we're
not going to agree on that. No, sir.
All right, so Bobby Wagner is the latest in the athletes to pay tribute to Kobe. And he paid tribute to Kobe. He's a Los Angeles Ram now. He's from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He was a longtime Seahawk. And so he wore on his thigh pad, he wore a picture of Kobe. Cause
that's dope.
Like most of those guys who grow up in LA and who grow up Lakers fans, he probably was a huge fan of Kobe Bryant.
Of course he was.
And so I really am here for all the acknowledgement of Kobe. You know, it still feels surreal that someone as much of a larger than life figure like Kobe Bryant just isn't here anymore, you know.
Right.
And for him to be immortalized the way that he has been, is really dope to see. And I'm glad that people continue to do it. Like, it's not one of those things where we're gonna celebrate him for a month or two after he's passed. No.
Yeah.
Years later, and that's how you know, like, that's a legacy. Years
I was just about to say that. That's because it's a legacy. This wasn't just a good player. This is a legacy. And it's the generation that he touched that is going to – this is why little kids still know who Michael Jackson is. This is – you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because there's legacy there.
Right.
It isn't just – Kobe Bryant is one of those. He's a that's legacy. So yeah. I'm excited for him and what he's going. What I mean, I'm excited that he's getting these accolades and that they were well deserved. He deserves all of them. Haiti's not here to see it, but well deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, show picks.
Show
what
picks.
You watching? Or what you about to watch?
I'm doing the you. I'm doing a you this time because you always say,
what you about to watch?
All of these. You do all of these. I ain't seen it yet, but
I'm about to. I'm about to check it out.
So y'all, y'all can't see my shirt, but I got on my shirt. Nope, you can't see it because it's black. But I got on my I Am the Homemade Warrior shirt today because I'm going to see The Woman King.
Yes.
When I first heard about it, like last year, I was like, oh, this is going to be dope because, first of all, Viola Davis is dope.
Yeah.
All in herself, but it feels very like Black Panther, the women in Black Panther, you know, that kind of. Yeah. And so, but this movie is based off of this actual group of women that's on my shirt, the Homemade Tribe. These women were the warriors for their tribe. Like they were like, they called them like Amazon women almost because they were just dope. So I'm going to see these dope Black women go do their thing. Yes.
I'm assuming that I'm probably going to go see it within the next week as well.
Okay.
So, the next week or two.
Gotta go see it in IMAX too. I can't wait.
Yeah. Gotta. Nah, I can't. We can't see that joint regular.
Regular. No. Yeah.
All right. So, I'm, I woke up this morning and I watched Any Given Sunday.
That's my movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It was on Hulu, and I was like, man, I ain't seen this in a while. So I turned it on. It's a really, like, I remember my first time seeing that movie and how intrigued I was by, you know, all that was happening. For the most part, they got it right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they had a lot of former and then current players at that time because the movie came out in 2001.
Right.
99, 2000, 2001, somewhere in there. And they kind of really got it right. And so, you know,
great.
It's still a very good movie. Still a very good movie.
Great. Listen, Jamie Foxx, I love that movie. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And he was believable as a quarterback because he was an all-state starting quarterback in high school.
In Texas, a big state like Texas, too. So, yeah. Willie Beeman.
Yeah.
Go get him, Willie.
Stanley Willie Beeman.
I love that movie. Good choice. All right.
All right. We are at the end of another one step.
All right.
Folks, if you guys want to contact us, you can reach out to us via our email address. That's field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. All of our socials, starting with our Twitter, is @field2therealp1. Our IG is @field2therealpodcast. Our Facebook, YouTube, and our TikTok is Field to the Real Podcast. That's FieldTO, not the number two, FieldTO, the Real Podcast. And you can go and see like clips on our Facebook and our TikTok page. I'm sorry, brain fart. Our Facebook and our TikTok page. You can look at videos on our YouTube. And you can look at, you know, all video clips of each segment of the show. And they're broken down like that. And so go on our YouTube, subscribe, like, share, comment, and hit that notification bell so that anytime we drop a new episode or a new clip, a new segment of an episode, you're notified about it. But if there is nothing else, because I feel like I'm forgetting something.
No, I think you got it all.
Yeah, we love you guys, but we are out of here. Peace.
Not doing it. Peace.
You don't have a white shirt on.
I don't. I got on a black shirt.
Right.
So, no.
So you're all good. Let me see.
Peace.
There we go. See, we got it.
Look, peace. y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.